Lord, we present to you today our tithes and our offerings. Lord God, we come with these gifts and these tithes, Father, because of a promise you have made. Lord, I personally stand here testifying that you have been true to your word. You have never failed me, and you've always been there. So, Father, I present to you today the tithes and the offerings. May they be a sweet aroma to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. You may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. And Genesis today. My wife's trying to steal my Bible. Well, I guess I never did finish what I was going to say about the other day. I got, what day was it, Wednesday? Thursday. It was Thursday we went to the show, right? Friday we went to the show. Holy smoke. I'm really off. So Friday I went to a cattle show, and in the meantime, I've been looking for a rear-mounted tiller for my one particular John Deere tractor I've got, because I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of taking the beating that the one I walk behind gives me. It grabs hold of something hard in the ground and drags me across the garden. I look a little ridiculous. So I found a guy. He had two of them, and he was going to sell them to me for a phenomenal price. But I didn't want to drive all the way down to where he was at. And so we made arrangements to meet in Columbus, since I was going to be down there. And we waited around, and he was working and couldn't quite get free in time. And then you all know Columbus traffic on Friday afternoons. Both ways, it's just a nut house. Well, we decided to meet at Cabela's, and a little after 5, he showed up, and a little after 7, I left, because God opened opportunities. You know, I tell you, all you got to do is be sensitive, and just, you don't have to get crazy. This man started asking questions. He says, I don't expect you to have the answer. And I'm standing here thinking, well, the Holy Spirit's got the answer. You just need to ask a question so I know when to open my mouth. And he'd ask a question and boom. And he just stood there and he's like, holy smoke, that makes so much sense. See, I'm going to guess a lapsed Christian. But he believed. He tried to read the Bible to his family. And so one thing led to another. We just kept talking, and he says, I think I'm going to go home and read my Bible. And I got in the truck and told Angela, I know they were going, they'd been sitting in the truck for nearly 2 hours. They could have went back in Cabela's and sat next to the fire. But, you know, I told her, I said, you know, this man had some serious questions for today that were relevant for right now. And just like that, my little purchase was met with an opportunity to persuade somebody to read their Bible, to dig in, and learn more about God. You know, that's actually our purpose in life, is especially as ministers. Anybody in a fivefold ministry, your whole point is to build up and edify the body of Christ and push, pull, drag, however you got to get them sometimes. Sometimes it feels like that, to get them into a closer relationship with God. See, so many people don't know God. That's what I liked. I've never honestly heard the song Good Father. Good Father. And as I was listening to that, it's just like, only people who will push in. When I say push in, I mean you've said, God, I want to know you personally. Each one of us has to say that. Do you know that? Otherwise, the closest you'll get to is knowing God through me and what I'm telling you. Well, that's kind of like, you know, standing over off to the side and saying, I can imagine what a kiss is like. Well, until you experience a kiss, you don't know what a kiss is like. Well, I can imagine what God's like. How about you just get right in there and experience God now? I can only imagine it's a beautiful, wonderful song. But let's get something straight. You don't have to wait till you're dead to experience God. You can experience Him now, His love. And the only way you're going to get that is drawing closer. Draw near. James tells us, he says, draw near to God and he will draw nearer to you. I will point that out in the parable of the prodigal son. The son returned first, and then the father met him. And do y'all remember how that kind of went? The father embraced him with love. He didn't say, whoop, stop right there, you smell like a pig. You go get cleaned up first, and I'll love you then. No, that's not what God does. God is the good, good father. He reaches in and embraces us and holds us, even though we reek of our past. He's not judging us by our past. He's not looking down saying, oh, you despicable piece of human flesh. He doesn't do that. He says, I know you smell like a hog. I know you smell like weed, booze. I know that, but I still love you. And he pulls you in. And as you get to know God, you're like, God, I don't need all this stuff anymore. I don't desire this stuff anymore. Because the things I was looking for that these brought, I found in you. See, it's kind of, to know who we are, we have to start knowing who he is. As a believer, you know, we've been taught many years that, I've taught you who you are. I bet it's every 6 months I do that message, because God wants me to tell you who you are. Some of you still don't understand who you are. You are not the world's footstool. You were created and now have the right to sit in heavenly places. That makes you an heir, as the Bible puts it, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And he's not somebody who's getting their mud wiped on them all the time. Now, I will point out, Jesus got down and he wiped the mud off. He wiped the stench off of the people. He didn't stay down there saying, well, I'm just a lowly servant. He got down, he did what he had to do, he got back up, and then he went and redeemed mankind. Now that's saying something to me. He showed us ultimately what real love is about. Message I want to bring today kind of goes hand in hand with some of that. I think a lot of people have problems with their thinkers. You know, this little 6 inches of gray matter between your ears. Because one reason or another, they have stinking thinking about themselves. There's a New Age mantra that goes around that says, I think, therefore I am. Now hold on before anybody gets crazy about it. It's actually on the edge of being biblical. Because, and I'm going to read the whole Proverbs to you, but in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. But we got to read the rest of that paragraph right there. So go ahead and bring that up and we'll get to that real quick, because I do want to jump on to that. Proverbs 23 says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the words of your wisdom. Okay, first, he's talking about a miser. Somebody who says, hey, you know, Richard, I want, eat, man, eat, drink, eat. And all the time I'm thinking, I hope you choke on that. I can't believe you're eating this. You're not supposed to take me up on that. I've actually experienced people like that. And it's like, you told me to eat. You really didn't mean it. Then I've had people where I said, you know, eat. And they took it all. There's a balance. That was my dinner too. But if we go back to verse 7, the first part, for as the miser thought in his heart, so is he. So there's actually a truth in there. As anybody thinks in their heart, that's what they are. Okay? That's the truth of it. That is where I think, therefore I am, comes from. It's not just something somebody thought of. None of this stuff is something just somebody thought of. But as you think in your heart, that's what you are. And that's what you will become. If all you ever see yourself is as a loser, you will always be a loser. And let's be real. There are winners and losers, are there not? We can say, oh, well, I got the participation trophy that shows I'm not. Oh, they're all winners. No. Growing up, I was taught second place is just the first loser. So if you're going to win, you win, right? You do everything. It's what the Apostle Paul told us. He said, do everything to win. Run the race to win. So, but the thing is, a lot of us have grown into mentalities about how we see ourselves, how we think other people see us. And the truth of the matter is, other people may not see us that way. But so one person, one nitwit, said something stupid. And that is what stuck in our crawl. That is what we focused on. I'm not very good looking. I'm not talented. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm no good at this. Just because one person who couldn't do it either said something to us, we couldn't do it. I didn't always have the mentality or the ideology that, well, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to try to do it. It wasn't something that ruled my life. I mean, there would be things, you know, somebody tells me, oh, you can't do that. Well, if I really wanted to, I was going to try it. You know, like, you can't jump your bicycle over that. Oh, if I get a big enough hill, I can. You see the videos all the time that prove that sometimes you can't. But over time, and particularly because God looked in my personal life, I can't speak for yours because I'm not you. I'm only telling you in my personal life what took place, okay? God knew what I'd been told. God knew where my self-esteem was. Sure, God could have gave me the job that I wanted. I was supposed to be a high-voltage electrician. I could have been was supposed to be a lineman. Had everything lined up, I was going to go to school after 2 years of being a groundman. The job was lined up the day after graduation. And then all of that went away. But because God wanted me here today. But where I was then, God couldn't get me to here today by letting me go become a lineman. I couldn't have fixed cars. I couldn't have done any of that. He said, I've got to change the way you think. And there's only one way I'm going to change the way you think. And trust me, that was the hard part for me in boot camp, was changing the way I thought. I pulled the trigger on the calling a recruiter, but God's the one that delivered the shell, okay? Because, like I've told you before, I just went to take the ASVAB test. Didn't realize I was swearing in at the same time. God had his purpose. The whole thing was in God's plan because I was not scared. In reality, I should have been scared senseless, but I wasn't. And in all of that, you go to boot, like I said, you pass through this door, and it tells right above that in a big stainless steel sign, it says, through these portals, pass some of the finest recruits. That was the first time that I'd ever considered myself worthy. somebody that didn't know me. I mean, man, here I am. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I haven't had any steady, good sleep. And they put the biggest drill instructor they could find on the front of the bus and said, "This is my bus. Get off my bus." And we weren't allowed to touch him. You don't know what to do. Guys are trying to crawl out the windows, going out the emergency exits. And finally, the man moves. And we got these yellow footprints. We're now told how to stand. But we go through there. And we're no longer human beings. I think Pat and I were talking about that earlier. When Tim walked in, we said, "Well, Tim went low." I said, "Yeah," and Pat's like, "Yep, I remember that." I said, "Me too." I said, "They made us all the same. Took away our egos, took away anything that made us different. Didn't matter what color. We had every nationality. We had every walks of life. We had guys." Unfortunately, I ended up paired up with him a couple times with anarchy tattoos all over him. Fortunately, they did not take that out on me, just him. And in that process, God began changing the way I thought about myself. Every night before bed, we had to beat the rack. And I was getting ready to say what we'd said, but it had something about being a rough, tough United States Marine Corps recruit. You'd think I'd remember that after 3 months of hitting the rack every night, saying that stupid saying. But it has been nearly 30 years, so I'll give myself a little. And after saying it so many times, I began believing what I was saying. What I thought about myself. I wasn't worthless. I was valuable to somebody. Even if it, as we would put it sometimes, cannon fodder. Military guys know what I'm talking about. That I had value. And that's what changed me. That's what made it so that I could stand up here in front of you today and not say, I'm not good enough to be up here. Well, if not me, then who? And I'll be honest with you, folks, I had somebody that got a little upset when I said something about I was maybe a little cocky. I have no problem with being cocky. Y'all, anybody that knows me knows I can be cocky. But I'll also back down if it's going to hurt somebody. But I'm cocky to the point of you're not going to tell me that I'm dirt, that I'm not worth your time. There's nobody in here better than me. And I'm no better than anybody in here. See, so as you think you are in your mind, that's what you will become. If you keep thinking that everybody's better than you, let me help you out here. Jesus told a parable of 100 sheep, and one of those miserable little things decided to run off. And Jesus said the good shepherd will put the others away and go off in the wilderness and find the one that got away. Consider yourself the one that got away. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would have came and died just for you. When you get that in your brain housing group, you'll now understand how much God loves you. How much He really cares for you. That if just for you, He would have done it. No matter what you were told in high school. We all went through high school. Sometimes it's a rough road to hoe. But if we continue to let what people thought of us in school control us today, we're missing something, especially if you're sitting in here today, because you should know God loves you more than that pinhead that said you were ugly or you were fat or you smelled or you weren't smart. You know what I've come to learn? People's minds develop at a little different ages. My mind did not totally mature until in my 20s. And I mean, as far as grabbing math, I know Jason over here, man, he's a math. He's a math dude. I don't know what else to call him, math wizard, whatever. He's got math down. He understands math that I'm like, okay, it looks like alphabet soup. But today, you can ask my family, I can sit there without even having the numbers and I can tell you the equation and come up with the answer. I love the flea market flip where they're trying to keep who's got the most profit. I can keep track of that now. But doggone it, as a freshman, even writing it down, I had a problem. And I thought I was stupid because I had difficulties in that. Today, I love history. I know history. And I love going way back. I love some of that stuff. I love geography. English, I'm still not a huge fan of. But in all, just matured at a little different rate. We all do. Praise God for those that get it a little bit sooner. But I'm excited because, hey, I didn't understand it. And that's why I don't give my boys too much grief. If they aren't getting something, as long as they're doing their best and not just dragging their feet, then they've got my support. But you see, our circumstances, our world around us starts creating what we'll call rose-colored glasses. Maybe somebody didn't actually say all that stuff to us. Maybe we just started thinking it. You know, I was 9, my dad lost his job. They got saved. Praise God they got saved. Downside is they got hooked up with some morons that were preaching garbage, and that just started shaping things. At the age of 9, you know, my parents, we never lacked. My dad went out for my mom's birthday in 74 and bought her a brand new car, brought it home. She didn't even have a driver's license. She just had this little card written in Italian that if she got pulled over in Cleveland, she was to give it to the cop. I told you, I have a godfather. He's a real godfather. Also the reason we left Cleveland, by the way. Because I got a cocky dad, too. But my world then got changed with corrupt religion. Because people started saying, don't hug your children, you'll molest them. So that got further away. Well, you know what? If you want to be rich, you've got to give all your money to the church. You want God's blessings, tithe. I promise you, you will have God's blessings. Sow seed when he says sow seed. But don't let anybody tell you, if you want a Cadillac, you got to sow big seeds. Are you really going to pay for the Cadillac? Are you really going to pay $1,000 for a set of shocks? Oh, I want a Mercedes. Are you ready to pay for the maintenance? $100 for the little wiper blades that go on the headlights. That's each. I choke at the $12 they charge for the ones for my truck. So what happened in my life is religion crept in And controlling people started dictating their perverted version of God. I never got to know God. When I repented of my life choices and I said, God, I want to know you for who you are, I can tell you right now, he's a good, good father. When I fell down, he picked me up. He didn't pile drive me. You know, it always aggravated me to watch fathers yell at their sons when they're playing sports because the kid wasn't able to do what the father thought they should have done. And they're, you're better than this. There's a bunch of garbage that goes, you know, listen, I am not going to lie. I play a little vicariously through my children because that was one of the things stolen from me. But not one time did I ever tell them that they were worthless because they couldn't do that. Hey, there's a lot of circumstances in play here. Yeah, I had a boy who was a little bigger on the sideline playing football and strong. But doggone, the kid on the other side had 60 pounds on him. What are you going to do? You sit back, you shut up, and pray to God that things start going your way. But these guys, oh, they can do better. And I'm speaking one person in particular. I know this man, and I know his son. I said, hey, your boy's doing good. No, he can do better. Listen, he's got to get out of your shadow. And from what I understand, your shadow is absolutely nothing. Quit telling him he's nothing. The boy did nothing but to live up to that expectation. And he's a great athlete. See, I just hope that in his head, he doesn't get it. Well, I could never get my father's approval. Listen, I know there's a lot of you sitting in here. That may be the case. You women, maybe you sought your mother's approval. I don't know. I'm here to tell you today, though, that God came. And it says to heal the brokenhearted. It says in your heart. That's this, not the blood pumping muscle. It's your mind. It's where you live, your emotions, all that stuff when you've been broken. That's why it says heartbroken. Because he wants to restore what the devil has come in to try to steal from you. He will become what you need. Most of us in here, I know, have either read the book, The Shack, or saw the movie. And I recommend either one of them. I loved it. Because if you've seen it or read the book, you know a lot of people had a problem. Well, the Holy Spirit was portrayed as a woman. The Bible says, apparently at one time, we were male and female. So where do you think the female side came from in God? It's there somewhere. We were created in his image. I don't get the whole thing because, you know, I have this finite mind right now. But ultimately, God met that man where he needed him because of a struggle with his father. He was able to speak to him through the Holy Spirit, but not as a man. So, like I said, I don't know where you're coming from. A lot of you, I look around, I know some of the garbage you've been through. Some of you, a lot of people that gave up a long time ago. Kudos, you're here. You're still fighting. That's what matters. It's not the size of the man in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the man. One of the few Marines that's ever been awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor twice, right? Yeah, I think it was twice. Dan Daly from Bronx, New York. 5'7", 130 pounds. He was awarded that medal for extreme bravery during the Boxer Rebellion and a few other places. I told you. He wasn't the gorilla that they always put on the recruiting posters. He was shorter than me. And at this point, a lot lighter than me. It was the fight that he had in him. He didn't die in combat either. He died in his bed. That tells you how ornery he was. Are you ornery enough to quit thinking what other people care and what people think about you? Listen, I've told you before, I don't care if you got hair, no hair, you've got purple hair, blue hair, red hair. None of that stuff matters. If you got tattoos all up and down your arms and legs, more power to you. Chains from your ears to your nose. It sounds a little dangerous to me, but hey. But what I want you to see is how much God loves you. He loves you in spite of the things you did. Now, like I said, you're responsible for what you did. The things you've done, you did them. Well, I did it because my dad or my mom or my uncle, my aunt, my grandpa, whatever. You did it. Buck up, buttercup, and accept the responsibility and move on. Get past that and realize that a king died for you. The creator of heaven and earth came. Came in the body of a man, first off a baby and then a man, and laid down his life willingly so that you could have the freedom to put behind everything anybody ever said about you. If people are talking about you now, so what? People are still talking about me. I've been called violent. I don't know where they get that from. I'll tell you what happened. Is the Marines put inside me a little device that says, when somebody's tearing you down, take it as a compliment and turn it into a compliment. I've told you before, the term jarhead was never meant to be complimentary. It was to be a derogative term for Marines. What'd we do? We're too dense to figure out that it was a slam. We grabbed it and embraced it. The other branches, and like I said, we give, all branches give each other garbage. Now, the Army and the Marines are a pretty strong force there as far as butting heads against each other. But ultimately, we will fight for each other. But we love to get, you know, they come up with muscles are required, intelligence not expected. We come up with ain't ready for Marines yet, you know, things like that. Some of you figure out the acronyms there. Army, Marine. But you see, we can laugh. We laugh about that stuff. You know what? It's not going to change who I am. I'm not going to change who they are. We know who we are. But we still, sometimes struggle with things. You know, I failed here. That's why I said, accept the repercussions and move on. I had a staff sergeant told me that. I was in non-commissioned officer school, and I made a mistake. I mean, I was a really young corporal. I'd been in barely 2 years. And they sent me to school to learn how to be a non-commissioned officer. Like, okay, I'm 20 years old. Well, 21 by the time I actually got promoted, but no, I was 20, 5 days before. And he said, just accept what you did and move on. Don't linger on where you messed up. Get past where you messed up and move on. So I made a mistake.
Well, you know, brother, people die when you guys make mistakes.
Yes, we understand that. That's why we try not to make mistakes. But if I continue going back and thinking about the mistake I made, what am I going to do? I'm going to make another mistake. And this one might cost somebody their lives. That one was just something stupid. Didn't mean anything. So what I tried to do after that point was actually start thinking out my decisions. And today, I will tell you right now, you cannot tell me that I'm worthless. I don't care if you think I'm small. Really don't care. You know what I learned? I'm average. That was always my goal, at least in school. I just want to be average. I'm good to go. Like, and I told you, I got in the Marine Corps and found out there's a lot of guys my height. My height. There was even a few shorter. They had to get waivers to get in. 4'11". This tall. He graduated on his own. But ultimately, you're not going to tell any of us that we aren't the world's finest. It's not a slam against my brothers in the Army, Navy, the Air Force, Coast Guard, whatever branch. You're not going to tell us we're not the world's finest. That's all there is to it. Because we laid down all the other garbage. So why does the body of Christ listen to the devil saying, you're worthless? You're not worth it. Well, remember the last time you stepped out, you failed. So what was it Edison said? I didn't find a thousand... You tried 1,001 ways to make a light bulb. He said, I just found 1,000 ways it didn't work. You got to keep plugging away at it. Sometimes you got to be mature enough in yourself and in your walk to realize what I've been doing ain't working. I got to change something. So many people, we don't give up. We don't quit. We're not quitters. Well, you can either walk away or they can carry you away on a stretcher because what you're doing isn't getting anywhere. I've told you before, I love watching it. I don't know why. The series Gold Rush on Discovery. And I watched a special the other night on it in which they had gone to Guyana back in a couple years ago. It was a total bust for them. No gold and only about $600 in diamonds is all they found. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars doing this. And then they show, I've seen this on the thing, but I missed a lot of that season for some reason. And I saw this one where this guy's in a track hoe and he's pulling a log and he spins too far and just wipes out the entire plant. I mean, destroys the thing. The log is about this big around. Just destroys their plant. And the mine boss, he's like, are you kidding me? What else could go wrong, you know, and all this. And it was his dad operating it. And on this special, this is the last one ever, he said, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told anybody else before. I meant to do that. I meant to take that out. That's why I did it. He said, my son could not see it was time to stop. He said, I hated that machine. I hated the jungle. He said, this was not where we should have ever gone, and my son could not stop. So I helped him. And boy, did he. But you see, folks, we get like that, don't we? I'm not a quitter. We throw that word quitter. I quit drinking, so yeah, I'm a quitter. We're all quitters. Let's face it. But sometimes we need to know, okay, that's not working. I need to change my plan. Something's not working. We don't keep pushing that way. we hold off until something else happens. You know, I know a lot of you, I saw on Facebook the other day, my memories came up, and 5 years ago, we connected these buildings. 5 years. I know people are like, oh, I know. When are we going to fix it? When it's time. We went as far as we could go, and we couldn't go any further. And praise God, I'm here to tell you, this week I started on some more of the electric, getting that done, and I've got contractor lined up to finish the drywall in the hallway. We'll get that hallway all buttoned up. Because I believe the next wave of growth is coming. That's how it happens. It wasn't time. You don't expand in a time of pruning. You expand in a time of growth. It's coming. Your time of growth is coming. As soon as you quit listening to all the voices in your head, what somebody said about you, what the girls at school thought about your dress. You know, I ended up having to wear some pretty interesting things in school. I went to Highland Country School. We had no city influence. We didn't have any influence from Columbus yet. And Value City came onto the scene in Mansfield, and it was cheap clothes. So guess where all my school clothes started coming from? We're not an inner city school. I'm wearing clothes that totally flies in an inner city school, but this is Levi country. And I'm walking through the school with a pair of pants that have 27 zippers in them. Nobody else that I'm aware of in the history of Highland has ever wore pants with 27 zippers in them. And I thought they were, you know, when I'd go to concerts and stuff, I'd see guys wearing them, and it's like, okay, you know, this is a heavy metal concert, so of course I'm going to see that. Well, you know, even the kids that listened to heavy metal, they wore Levi's and the shirt. They didn't go full on with the pants. And it was later on, and you know, well after high school, and I was talking to somebody who went to school, and he said, man, I used to think you were the coolest with the clothes you wore. I thought, oh dear God, I didn't. Man, I was still wearing brown corduroys in the eighth grade, and they'd been out of style for a few years at that point. If you've ever had corduroys, you know what I'm talking about. But then I found out there was people that thought I was cool. But the cool kids didn't think I was cool. Oh, but wait a minute. Who cares what the cool kids think? Looking back, they had their own problems. And I allowed what people thought of me start dictating how I thought of myself. And then, well, you know, religion crept in there and it got its whole idea on me. And it's only been a couple years ago that I finally said, you know what, I don't care what preachers think of me. If I want to wear my blue jeans to church, I'm wearing my blue jeans to church. If I want to wear my suit and tie, I'm going to wear my suit and tie. I felt like looking a little cool today. I even had a different shirt picked out, and then I put that one on, looked in the mirror, and said, you know what, that's what I'm wearing to church today. I'm going to be me. That's too late for the mohawk. That ain't happening. Yes, there is. Maybe. I ain't going to lie. They were dangerous pants. You're getting caught on things all the time. But ultimately, folks, you know, I had to change what I thought about myself. And bring it back into alignment with God, with what God thought of me. See, God created me to be me. He didn't create me to be Phil, Harold, Pat, Tim. He created them to be them and me to be me. And I love it when I see people being themselves. I'm just going to be all out. Listen, let me kind of wrap this up with this right here, okay? Being you doesn't mean you have to be crude and rude in front of people. Let's keep that straight. Guys, we all know guys talk guy talk around guys. Leave it there. You ain't got to be crude in front of women. And women, I've worked in factories, and you are some... some of you women said things that made me blush. But that still does not mean that I should be crude. Now, my wife, I'm sorry, she just gets it all. You know, I mean, she had four boys, male dog. I mean, she doesn't stand a chance. But just because I'm me does not give me a right to be rude to people, short with people. God has actually been even, you can ask my wife, there's things I'll sit down and if there's going to be a conversation I got to have, I will sit at the dinner table and they all look at me and say, who are you talking to? Because my eyebrows will be going. I talk with my eyebrows when I'm not talking. And I'm like, nobody. But what God has actually been doing has been letting me say the things that need to be said. Not just to be a jerk. I can be a jerk. Yeah, we can all be jerks. That's easy to do. Being meek is something totally different. And I want to inherit the earth. I don't know about y'all. I don't want to be cast out. So, if you're still in the mindset that you think lowly of yourself, please, please, for the love of God, understand His love for you. That you were worth His only Son. I got three, and I've told you before, I wouldn't give any of them up for you. I'd die for you, but I ain't going to give up my Son. God did. Knowing what He was going to have to go through. So if you're living your life based on somebody saying something derogative about you, how you'll never amount to anything, prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. I watched a movie last night, The Greatest Game Ever Played. If you've never seen it, it's a very good movie. It's an older one now. About Francis we met and his caddy, Eddie Lowry. Eddie was a short fella, 10 years old, and Francis we met had just turned 20 and was an amateur and was not wealthy enough to be playing golf. But yet he got invited in to play golf, and he won the U.S. Open as an amateur, the first one ever in 1913. But people used to make fun of his caddy, who'd skipped school to do this for him. His brother was supposed to, but he got caught by the truant officer. And people would made fun of him because he didn't have the size that the other kids did. You know, he didn't care what they thought about him. He cared what Francis thought about him. Even when the league tried to get rid of him on the final day, it boiled down to three people, two pros who were the best golfers in the world and him. They were tied, and they had to have a three-way tie, a breaker, which he didn't beat him by one stroke. It was five strokes. As the movie lets you think, he beat him by one. But he said, no. He said, What they think, what they say doesn't matter. You're my caddy. Now, in the end of the movie, they're walking down the fairway, and he says, Eddie, I think we'll be friends forever. And they were. But you see, Eddie didn't let what people thought about him dictate who he was going to become. He became a multimillionaire. He owned car dealerships. He was friends with Bob Hope, played golf with Bob Hope. And here he was, just a poor boy from Berkshire, Massachusetts. And he didn't let what people thought about him dictate who he was to be. Neither should you. Don't stop going for your dreams. Sometimes your dreams change. You need to understand that. Dreams change. My dreams, my plans have changed. Things I wanted, I no longer desire. But if you're letting what people thought about you, somebody's even saying it, they're toxic. Shut them up. You better start listening to what God thinks about you. Because he's saying, I love you. You mean everything to me. Nobody has that right to tell you that, dear. Nobody. So starting today, here's your challenge. Quit listening to what other people think about you. You're never going to please everybody. Never. So how about you live your life to please God and enjoy it? You're never good enough for people. So what? Prove them wrong. So what if you don't come from the right family? So what if you're born on the wrong side of the tracks? Oh, crying out loud. Railroad tracks ran right through the backyard where I lived for a while. Doesn't matter. And when you come from West Virginia, you're actually on the wrong side of the river for Ohioans. Until you get up here and you ask, how many came across the river, and 3/4 of Ohio raises their hand? Either from Kentucky or West Virginia, one of the two. And don't, well, I'm from Pennsylvania. Listen, I've known lots of Pennsylvania people, and they just like the West Virginia and the Kentuckys. Some of them were even maybe a bit more out there. They were good guys, though. They were good guys. They were crazy. These were Marines I knew from Pennsylvania. They were crazy. But anyhow, God cares too much for you to worry about what people think. Amen? Let's stand. And on a better note, don't become like the miser. If you say something, mean it. You give somebody something, give it to them. Cut the strings. I can't tell you how many times people give me something. Now, if you want to get rid of that or sell it, you give that back to me. You gave that to me, Jack. It's mine. There are no strings. That's why I tell people up here. Because I've had people do that. Now, Pastor, I'm going to give this to you, but if you should ever decide to give it away or sell, I'd like to have it back. Why don't you just keep it? Because if it's mine, it's mine. I don't play that game anymore. Done with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your great love that has come into our lives. If Father, I pray right now that you help each and every person. If they have any doubts of how much they are loved by you, Father, I pray that you help them to understand. Father, and as they draw nearer to you, to loving you and understanding you, Father, that I know you move in faster than we do. Father, meet them there. Father, I pray that you help those who are dealing with the hurts of things that were said, things that were done. Father, you said you came to heal the brokenhearted. You sent your word, and you healed them. Father, I pray that your word will heal those scars. Father, the infections that are still oozing because of loose words, Father, that they will be sopped up and all that infection gone from their lives. Father, that they will now rise up victorious people. People who can love other people through the same things. Father, I pray right now that you fill them with your love, your words, Father, that they are not the bottom, they are above. That, Father, that they aren't worthless. They are full of worth. Father, I pray now that you bless them. Father, I thank you for each and every one of them. And Lord, I pray that as they go about their week, Father, that you move, you open doors for them. Father, you lead them and guide them. Father, as your word says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Father, that you help them place their foot right where it needs to be. In Jesus' name, amen.